This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, and welcome back to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. I was traveling last week, so we didn't get to record. We're a little late, but I learned a ton. My brain is full of new information because I was training under a new counseling method that we're going to tell you about and see if you can learn from. And yeah, stick around. What are you doing for Halloween? You got a little one does he understand Halloween?
Oh yeah, no, he totally gets it. And okay, I just have a little bit of a bone to pick because when I was a kid, Halloween fell on one day. And now that I have a 4-year-old, Halloween, I know you're looking at me like, yeah, it falls on one day. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Because if you have, let's just say Halloween falls on a Thursday, that means that likely there's going to be a party on Friday where you get dressed up. But also everybody had things the week before Halloween. So it's like you either wear the same costume 4 times because you're going to 4 separate parties. I've been to a Halloween bingo party. I've been doing Halloween downtown and like shopping at the business district. My kid has been to like a class Halloween thing. Church is doing some sort of fall thing. It's just, I just need one day.
Those are usually harvest festivals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about like the dead or some pagan holiday, but yeah, it's just a bone to pick. And I know that there's other parents out there where it's like you need 4 Halloween costumes every single year and you have to clear your calendar for two weeks straight because everything is some sort of party.
Do you know what a VSCO girl is?
No, wait. VSCO girl. Hold on. Yeah. I researched this. I literally looked it up. Long baggy shirt, some sort of shorts. I'm on the right track.
Leggings. Yeah.
Okay. Leggings. So what is that from?
Well, VSCO is an app. It's like an app that you take pictures of yourself, I guess. And okay. So VSCO girls have kind of become this, kind of cliche inside the app, you know, cause they got their Nalgene, Hydro Flask. Yeah. Uh-huh. And what are those sandals called? Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
And scrunchies.
And, mm-hmm. And so is it today, just like a basic black legging and like an oversized shirt?
Today,
okay.
Today, Mary dressed up as a VSCO girl for school.
Oh my gosh.
And they go, but it's pretty obnoxious.
What is that? What is that from?
That's the noise they make. I think it's like at the end of Hydro Flask. That's just the sound that they make.
Hydro Flasks.
Yeah.
Flasks.
Anyway,
okay.
I'm pretty sure you'd be a VSCO girl.
No. Well, yeah, I'm pretty basic. The terminology of being basic, I'm pretty basic. That was, when I was in college, every girl wore the same, it was like the college uniform, which was a North Face, zip up sweatshirt thing, black leggings, UGG boots. And then I forget what they had on top, whatever. Their hair and makeup was perfect, even though it was meant to look like they rolled out of bed.
Right on.
So that was like the basic girl, but I could never be basic. I strive to be basic. I really do.
Well, I think we've graduated from Halloween, although it is Mary's birthday.
Today?
Halloween is Mary's birthday.
Oh, wow. Oh, you have a story, right? About your wife's, when she was born, didn't your doctor come dressed up or something? Am I recalling a television show?
Yeah, you probably are. but I have 2 holiday babies. I've got Halloween and New Year's Day. That's my story.
Well, that's fun. You'll never forget it. So, Holden is dressed up as Harry Potter and has been Harry Potter already 5 times so far this year, since we've already been to every party there is.
Right on.
But yeah, he's going to be Harry Potter. And then I have a Halloween costume that I built out and spent money on 10 years ago. And it just continues to be, I'm a Monster Inc. character. Okay. That's what I am.
All right.
Anyway, so you just got back. You've been traveling. You were training. We couldn't do our podcast on the normal day. So where were you and what were you doing?
I was in Boston, or just outside of Boston, and I was training. Hello. I don't know what that means.
Holler?
I know, but why did you say that?
Because we're hollering at our Boston listeners.
Oh, right.
Obviously. What's up, Boston? Yeah. Hey.
So I was training, getting some more education under Terry Real. We've talked about Terry Real a bunch on this. But first I have to tell you, do you remember Jacqueline and Jameson?
I do. Do you want to tell the story of Jacqueline and Jameson?
I think we've talked about them on this once before, but Jacqueline and Jameson were this couple that was...
It was like a first date though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, here's what it was. It was her 21st birthday and her boyfriend's best friend was taking her out for lunch because he couldn't go to the party that night. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I'm sitting at the next table and I start eavesdropping, of course. And this is
of course.
Laura and I were
friends.
No, we were, what were we doing? That thing, Google chat. And I was just like,
yeah, we were Google chatting.
God. I was like, oh my God. And then he just said this. And then she just said this. And so I have a transcript of like 40 minutes of the most mundane, mind-numbing conversation ever. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I got a new experience in Boston.
Of eavesdropping on poor people?
No.
Oh, jeez. No.
Okay, so here's the deal. This dude, so I'm at the bar and I'm just kind of doing my work or whatever. And this guy walks in and it's clearly like a Tinder date or something.
Oh, excellent.
And so I'm listening to the whole thing and he's got his whole system down. It's pretty hilarious. He waits to order his drink and until she's finished her first one. And he goes, I'll have what she's having and she'll have another.
Okay. All right. He definitely learned that off of some episode of something suave. Okay.
Okay. So I'm watching this thing unfold for a while and she's slowly getting more and more like kind of bored. And I'm getting tired. I got to go to bed because I'm jet lagged. So that's the end of that story until I'm back down there the next night. And the same dude comes in with the same system, different
chips. Yes.
And he pulls the same move. I'll have what she's having and she'll have another. And then apparently whatever magic he was weaving, he sealed the deal and they went upstairs in the elevator with their two cocktails.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. So, is this a hotel lobby?
No, it's the hotel bar.
Motel. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So he was probably just like staying in the hotel, was on business and he was ordering up a date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, okay. So it's a 50-50. That's pretty good odds actually with that line.
Oh. I wish I could make it funnier for you because it was just mind blowing. I've never dated. I've never done that whole scene. So I don't know.
And I think we've talked about this, but about, I would say, man, over 50% of the couples that I see, they met online. They met through Tinder. They hooked up on the first date. No, but now it's just, it's like, it is what it is. Yeah. I'm out there to meet people and hook up. And yeah. So they're meeting online. Match.com was one. I think we're kind of phased out of Match.com. Or maybe it's a different generation, but there's so many different apps out there. There's like Christian Mingle. There's like Farmer Boy, Meet Farmer Boy, all the different apps.
The best story I've ever heard of somebody meeting online was this. I think I've told you this story. This guy or this girl was mountain climbing. And she, on the way down the mountain, she lost one of her shoes, not that she was wearing, but one that was in her pack. Okay. And so she went down and she put it on the message board. Hey, like I lost a shoe. If anybody finds it when they're climbing,
please tell me this is the Cinderella story. Please, 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 please.
No, this the next day, this dude was climbing the mountain, found the shoe.
Yep.
Went down the mountain, went on the message board and was like, I found the shoe. They found the girl whose shoe it was. And then they were getting married. Like that's
the Cinderella story.
Yeah.
You left your glass slipper behind. I love it. That's awesome. You know what we should do is we should take a poll of like the most fascinating, romantic, entertain the crap out of us type of stories where of how people met. Because I ask our couples every time they come to see me, I want to see how they tell the story of their meeting and what they found, you know, interesting about one another and how they fell in love and choices that they made and why. If you have a fascinating story, listeners, of how you met, I would love to hear. I just had a flashback to you telling the story about how your daughter was born on Halloween. And for some reason, I want somebody to tell me that the doctor who delivered their first child, they ended up falling in love with and marrying.
Okay.
I want that story. What if there was an easy way to achieve connection without having to do a ton of work? And what if you could make just a few small changes that helped you feel more alive, awake, and aware? Well, we're convinced that there is, and that you can, because we have worked with hundreds of couples. We've pored over reams of research. We've even experienced change in our own marriages. And time again, if we have learned anything, it's this. You do not have to stay stuck. That is why we created Marriage in Motion. It's a video series for couples, 16 videos with corresponding activity sheets, because we want for you to take the information and the research that we have pored over and put it into action in your own relationship. Marriage for Motion is available now. Go to forbetter.us, and for less than $300, you get the entire video series for a lifetime. We also have a guarantee that if you don't experience small changes in your relationship that have a big impact, we'll give you your money back. Check it out at forbetter.us. We'd love for you to try the Marriage in Motion video series for couples. So tell me about Terry Real. What were the takeaways? Because Terry Real is in the field. He's a teacher. He's a thought leader when it comes to working with couples. He's different in his style and approach and focus than our original training, John Gottman's training. So what is Terry Real's deal? What did you walk away with the weekend knowledge wise?
The first thing that I noticed was, you know how sometimes I'll ask this question, like when of a couple, I'll say, hey, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a cheerleader, a coach, a Sherpa, a wizard, a doctor, a prep? Like, he definitely cops to a teacher. He's a teacher. And he wants to teach couples how to change their way of thinking, frankly. I don't think I've ever known a therapist who just sort of said, yeah, that's what I do. I teach.
Other than me, I mean.
They guide, they coach, or they, you know,
but I feel pretty settled in that being my title as teacher, mostly because the style of therapy that we do is very behavioral, and it's like you're coaching, you are shifting and changing behaviors. You know, I'm not like a spiritual guru who shakes the feathers and goes into the underworld or anything like that, but I do feel very much like a teacher. In a lot of ways, especially with the fact that I'm doing distance learning. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I would call it, is distance learning. When you work with me, I work as a coach and you're in your own home. Anyway, go on to Terry Real. Tell me more about your takeaways.
Yeah. Well, he had a PowerPoint that he wanted to go through, but he has so much sort of collected wisdom that he couldn't kind of stick to the PowerPoint. So there was a lot of sort of, oh, this makes me think of this, or let me show you this case study, or questions would come up. He really just, it was almost like 2 days of just full on answering questions, which was really, that's really hard to do, but he was really great about it and just kind of was generous with his, with his agenda.
So were practitioners just simply saying, hey, I've got this case. What would you do in this scenario? Or how would you help?
There's a lot of that. Like, what do you do in this? What do you do in that? Or what do you do in the other? The other thing that he is really kind of into is this idea that sort of relational patterns and behaviors are coded into our bodies almost. Like, so we have these sort of things that are, what did he call it?
It's going back to his notes. I'm so proud of you for taking notes.
Oh, he was talking about, we have these things that are carried and things that are ours. And this was really fascinating to me. So in that example, he would say, like, sadness is yours. Depression is carried. Anger is yours. Anxiety is carried. Or rather, rage is carried. Fear is yours, but anxiety is carried. Almost like some of these things like depression and rage and anxiety are coded into our bodies and our stories, often through our families of origin, which we don't spend a lot of time talking about, family of origin. But he's really, really keen on kind of understanding, you know, where you came from affects where you're headed. So it's not really behavioral. He's not offering a lot of...
But what's the hope in that? I mean, if you come from a family of origin where depression is coded, rage is coded, loneliness or abandonment is coded, where's the hope for somebody who's saying, okay, that might be my story, but that's not my truth?
Well, and this is where he comes into this idea of that we've talked about several times before, that there's inside each of us, there's what's called a wounded child, an adapted child, and a functional adult. And we all have access to the functional adult. We do have access to that person. But we often submit to the wounded child or the adapted child in when we're acting out, right? We're trying to protect ourselves from something. And his whole thing is about trying to get to know the wounded child, almost like you're separating your consciousness as the functional adult and saying, "Hey, kid, I got your back. Like, I'm going to take care of you," and letting go of the excuses. Like, you don't have any more reason to be afraid or to protect yourself from this sort of thing because I'm an adult now and I can take care of you. And so it's almost role play. It's almost like he calls it inner child work. But I don't do role play very well. I'm not like a "Hey, can I talk to your 8-year-old? But I do see the value in it, and it's transformative for people.
So how would this show up? I mean, let's just for a moment, roll this out or case study this.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Where it's a couple, I'm going to give you a scenario and tell me how this might play out.
See if I can. I learned anything.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just say that there is a husband and wife partner, and husband is overworked, completely overburdened. He's working like 18-hour days. And when he comes home, he has nothing left. And the thing that continues to frustrate him is that he just feels like an absolute failure in all aspects of his life. He's working and spinning his wheels at work, not feeling like he's getting anywhere, but he can't take the foot off the pedal, like the gas at work. So he has to pour everything he absolutely can into it so that it doesn't fall apart, but he's also not succeeding. And then he comes home and he feels like a total failure with his wife. He feels like a total failure as a father. You know, his own taking care of himself is just down the tubes. He's not doing anything for himself. What would an inner child be? I mean, I'm just curious how this plays out.
Well, so my question for you, just so you can play out the scenario, is what is the cost on the relationship? Like, what is it?
Cost is that he's quite neglectful of the relationship, but it's a punching bag. So he's just like such a softy. But when he comes home, all that anybody gets to see out of him is anger and irritability.
Yeah. So it's the anger and irritability that he's using to cover up the vulnerability. And that's the adapted child, right? That's the person who, it's like a child who puts on adult clothes. So he's got this piece of pain that he can't deal with. And so the way that he deals with it is that he puts on this outfit called anger or rage or whatever, instead of just like sort of owning that that's a bad strategy and needing to learn how to replace it with the functionally adult strategy. And so what one of the sort of trio of questions that Terry offers up is this idea of who did this to you, or who did you see do this, or who let you do this and get away with it? And those questions begin to get to sort of the relational stance that informs what needs to be replaced, right? So who did this to you? Who got really big and loud to you? Or who did you watch do this in your house? Or who did you, when were you big and loud and somebody let you get away with it and basically enabled you? And those stories begin to help you kind of get underneath the real motivation, which is probably fear, right? Like, I'm afraid that if I don't get big and loud, somebody's gonna take advantage of me.
And so
then the next piece of work would be to say, and I think I'm getting this right, it would be to say, hey, can we talk to that kid? The kid who who was watching his dad rage at his mom? Can I talk to him? What does he feel like? He feels afraid. What would you tell him now? You know, that sort of thing. Like, kind of really getting into, I got you. I've got you. You know, we've made it. We've gone this far together, sort of.
Wow. Okay. So I was asking you, like, what's the hope, right? If if you feel like you have this, you put it as two things. Like, one is sort of you differentiated between, let's say, anxiety and fear or whatever.
Yeah.
One is ingrained. What is that terminology you used?
Carried.
Carried. Okay. Yeah. And then what's the other one? Carried
one is,
and
one is yours and one is carried. Like, one belongs to you and one belongs to whatever you're carrying.
Okay. And the carried is like something that you brought with your family of origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the piece that I asked was, where's the hope in that? If you are carrying something from your family of origin, that's not functional in your everyday life, it's not serving you. And what I heard you say is that you become your own healer in a lot of ways. You become that person that says, hey, 8-year-old boy, like, I just need you to know you're not needed here. Like, I don't need an 8-year-old boy conversing with my wife because I'm here and I can be gentle and soft with my wife. I don't need you to put on your cloak of anger or whatever it might be. Am I getting this right?
Totally. And what Terry kind of gets this aha moment where he doesn't make the person say, but he says, can you tell your 8-year-old boy's father, I'm going to continue to act like this because I care more about you than I do my wife.
Hold on. Say that again.
Are you willing to let the 8-year-old boy say to his father,
okay,
I'm going to keep acting like this because I love you more than I love my wife. Or, you know,
I'm so confused by that.
Well, but basically the result is somebody says, no, I don't love this style of relating more than I love my wife. I don't love letting my dad's power over the 8-year-old have more power than my functional adult has in my relationship with my wife.
And so you're shifting the power. You're shifting the power and saying, I choose to show up this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. I mean, you said it better than I just explained it, with this idea of saying, I don't really need you here right now. And letting you be here is giving power away that that belongs to my relationship.
So you're learning as the therapist, but for our listeners, if they're starting to recognize, like, what are some questions in situations where they might say, you know what, I'm not showing up as my best self. In fact, who is showing up right now? Is this somebody that's carrying something? Is this like an 8-year-old? Is this a 6-year-old? I mean, what are some of the questions that our listeners can use to help to dissect and understand who might be showing up in those moments?
Well, I think one question is, how old do you feel? I mean, I ask clients that all the time when they start talking or whining or, you know, spinning. I go, wait, how old are you right now? You know, who am I talking to? And they might not know, or they might have to kind of gut check and think, oh, I think I'm this person right now, or I think I'm acting like this right now.
I don't show up as sometimes I do, as a child. I show up as my 21-year-old self quite often. And man, I hate that person. Mm-hmm. That was a really tough year for me. It was the first year I fell in love with my husband, first boyfriend, and I did a lot of things wrong. And when we get into our spiral, and I throw all my good habits out the door, I show up as a 21-year-old self. And I quite often will come back to that. Yeah. She was an asshole.
Yeah. I'm sensitive to it too. I mean, I think, you know, between the time I was about 11 and 16, my home was pretty, like, I don't know, erratic, I guess. Like, there just was not a lot of stability. And I filled the role of parent quite a bit. Mm-hmm. and rejected being parented quite a bit. And so now, anytime I feel like I'm being parented by anyone ever, I get super defensive because I go back to like this place of going, hold on, I got this. Like, you don't need to treat me like this.
Who are you showing up to be a parent now?
Totally.
I'm the parent here.
It could be a boss. It could be my wife. It could be my kids. Oh man, when my kids start parenting me, I'm just like, oh no, you don't, you know?
Oh man. So I like that. So, okay. If our listeners are getting sort of to the self-discovery place of how old am I, who's talking right now, what's a good way to kind of coach that person off the ledge? And like, what do they say to themselves sort of internally?
Well, I think part of it is just the person that is saying the thing internally has to be the functional adult and say, hey, where can we bring back the, like just the adult in the room? And there's all this imagery that Terry uses, like, go ahead and put the kid on your lap and comfort him, and then put him in the back seat and put the seatbelt on him. Like, you don't have to reject or beat up or shame the kid. In fact, there's a lot of, there's a lot of shame talk in kind of the Terry Real world, about grandiosity. And, that's another thing that kind of blew my mind, just sort of where are you in the kind of the realm of health. But it's really about saying, go into health where you kind of have a whole relationship with yourself or enough of one to go, I'm better than this. I don't need to do this right now. You know how they say, if you only get one thing, this is the thing that you need to leave with. This is what he said. He said, there's nothing that harshness can do that loving strength can't do better.
Mm.
And so when you're feeling harsh toward yourself, it's almost like, hey, how can I choose loving strength here? Or if you're feeling harsh towards your partner or your kid or whatever, you're off track. It's not going to go well. And so I think if you can just start there going, I don't need to treat myself this way, then you can, have a kind of renewed sense of, I don't know, hope. That's the word I put in there.
Yeah. This is interesting. It's a totally a different way of communicating with couples. The thing I love about it is that it puts so much onus on yourself.
Yeah.
In that showing up in a relationship. I mean, we show up, ultimately the only thing that we have control over is ourselves. And if we, or ourself, and if we can take a moment to be so much more in tune with ourselves and all the little parts that show up, I think, wow, that's pretty fascinating. So what is there a book that you would recommend? I mean, The New Rules of Marriage by Terry Real.
Yeah. The New Rules of Marriage is kind of the one that has this stuff in there.
And it's written specifically for couples, not clinicians.
That's a couple's book. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's got a ton of online resources. I mean, he's just churning out online courses and he kind of knows everybody. He works real closely with Esther Perel. They're good friends.
Never mind. I won't say that online. He's got a little crush on her, right?
I don't know. I mean, he will tell you that he's kind of a narcissist. And so it's funny to watch him kind of be unapologetically there, you know?
Yeah.
So he doesn't know if he does have a crush on her, he's not apologetic about it. He's just like, it's just part of the deal. But I don't really sense that for him. He's like 70 years old and happily married and talks about the work that he and his wife have done both clinically. Yeah. And
well, it doesn't mean he can't have a crush. I mean, I have so many, I get crushes more on women than I do on men, to be perfectly honest, there's something in the sense that I say a crush in that I sort of idolize them. I think that something that they're doing is really stinking cool. Hey, you know what I want to talk about in another session and another episode is mentors. I'm out there and I'm searching for a mentor. I finished a book that's really cool. Loved it, but I'm kind of thinking about mentors, but that might be coming up. Right. Okay, should we wrap this up?
Yeah. I mean, my brain is totally overloaded with this stuff. I'm going to be like trying to figure out how to implement it and put it into practice. Because I love that it's so like sort of left brain relative to the Gottman right brain kind of thing.
It totally is.
And it's, and sometimes you need to pivot, you know, sometimes when you're stuck and you need to, and couples are, you know, it's not working out for couples, then you need to figure out how to, you know, maybe adapt your strategy.
Yeah. The thing that works so well with the Gottman method is that it, especially for men, especially for sort of that engineer brain, it's very based in theory. It's very based in statistics, but it's not going to always work for the partner of that engineer brain or that male. Like, you might need something else that feeds into, or, you know, it's just complements. So this might be something really helpful. So you said that there's a terminology. If somebody was looking for a therapist that specifically practices his style of therapy, what is it called?
Relational life therapy, RLT, relational life therapy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. Have a happy Halloween.
Yeah. And happy birthday and all that stuff.
That's right. All the things. All right. Well, we'll chat soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm pretty stinking fascinated by this Terry Real guy that Zach has been training from. And if you're interested in reading more about him, you can check out his book. It's called The New Rules of Marriage. You can find that on wherever books are sold. But mostly I wanted to thank you. Thank you so much for all of you who are showing up in your relationships and taking some personal responsibility. Thank you for all of the time and attention that you put toward making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.